Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Bet Amun Aleph by the Gemara. The Mishnah had taught us about the difference between Ones and Mifateh. That a Mifateh pays three things, which is Boshet, Pagam, and Knas. And the Me'anes adds on top of that the payment of Tsar. The Gemara says, Ma'ikah Mashmalan, what did our Mishnah teach us? Tanina, we already had this Mishnah on the previous parak. HaMifateh Noten Shlosha Dvarim. The one who is a seducer pays the three things. Ve'ha'ones arba, and one who rapes pays four. Ha'mifateh notain boshet u'begam u'knas. The mifateh pays for the embarrassment, the diminution in value, as well as the 50 shekel kesef fine. Mosif alav ones, and it added on top of that, the rapist shenotain et tzar. So the additional amount of paying for the pain that is associated with the me'anes. And our Mishnah basically is saying the exact same thing. So what is our Mishnah adding that we don't already know from the previous parak? It says, La'via itztrichale. It came to teach you that the monies that are generated from this infraction are paid to the father and not the daughter. It says, La'via nami pshita. It's very straightforward that this goes to her father. The fact that a mifateh pays at all is indicative of the fact that it goes to the father. Dila atzma. Because if you were paying to her, Ama Yahiv Mifateh, why would the Mifateh have to pay at all? Midata Ama Avad. She did it of her own volition. Meaning in the case of seduction, the girl succumbs to the overtures of the individual, but by doing so, she's also mochel on the payments that are due to her. So if she was the one acting on her own volition and the payments went to her, then in essence, the payments don't exist because she was mochelet. She forgave the payments by acquiescing and succumbing to the seduction. On the other hand, if the payments go to the father, we understand why the payments still exist. Because the father was never mochel, even though the daughter was mochel on her own kavod or her own pagam. But the father was not mochel on that, and therefore the father's entitled to the money. The fact that the Mishnah says that the mifateh is paying at all is indicative of the fact that there must be the payments go to the father and not to the daughter. Tosafot over here points out, maybe we could argue, maybe we could argue that the case when the mifateh pays is by ktana, where she does not have the ability to be mochelet on her kavod, she's too young, and we actually consider or classify from the Gemara and Yevamot that seduction with ktana is actually considered to be rape and not seduction. So maybe that's the case in the Mishnah, and therefore you wouldn't know anything about whether a ne'ara the monies go to the father or they go to her. It says Mikomokom Ashle b'ne'ara Airi. Nevertheless, it sounds like from the Mishnayot that we're talking about the ne'ara, the pashtut matnitan a'elu ne'arot dereshakoi. It seems like the pashtut Mishnah from the previous parak was speaking about a Mishnah that was a continuation of the beginning of the parak, and the beginning of the parak began a'elu ne'arot. If that's an extension of the original Mishnah, then Ne'ara is the key factor here in terms of who the infraction is against or who was seduced over here. And since it was a Ne'ara that was seduced over here and the payment is still being made, that's indicative of the fact that it goes to her father. So again, we know this all from the previous parak. Why do I need our Mishnah over here? Amdo Bedin, it's Trichale. We need the case of Amda Bedin and the case where they adjudicated the Plukta, the Rabbi Shimon, Virabonon. To explain to us the machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon as to what the status of the monies are after the case has been adjudicated. When does it turn into mamon in order to be morish? Again, the father has rights in his daughter's payments, but he cannot grant those rights to his children. He cannot be morish those rights to other parties. So if he has already made that right into money, monetized the right, then in the case where he's monetized the right, then he can be morishit to its children. If it still remains a right, then it will disappear, and the daughter will get the payment. And that's exactly what our Mishnah discusses in the end, the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon as to when that threshold is. According to the Chachamim, once you have the adjudication of the case, that already monetizes the right of the father to that money, and therefore the brothers will inherit and not the daughter. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon believes until the money is actually paid, until one pays for the judgment that was rendered against him, and at that point, does it become mamon? And if it's before that, it will not be considered to be mamon, that he can be morish to his children. It'll still be in the form of a right, which he cannot be morish to his children. So that's what our Mishnah was Mechadesh, not the other things that we would have known from the previous Perek, but this item as to when it changes from a right into real monetary value. So Tanan Hatam, we have a Mishnah in Shvuot. Anasta ufitita et biti. You raped or seduced my daughter. Behu omer, and the supposed perpetrator says, lo anasti velo pititi. I did not rape her, and I did not seduce her. Mashbiacha ani. So the father who's making these accusations says to the supposed perpetrator, take a shvuah that that's the case. Vamar amein. And he responds with amein, acquiescing, acknowledging the shvuah as if he's taking the shvuah. And then afterwards he admits the fact that he really did rape her, he really did seduce her. Chayav. In that case he is chayav a korban shvuah. We'll explain this in 1 second. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says that's not the case, he's patur. Sheinu mishalem knas al pi atzmo. Because you can't pay knas by your own admission. Amrulo, the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Shimon, afal pi sheinu mishalem knas al pi atzmo, even though he doesn't pay fines by his own admission, aval mishalem boshet begam al pi atzmo, he still pays for the boshet and begam al pi atzmo, because boshet and begam are differentiated from knas. This is something that we discussed in the Mishnah yesterday, machloka between Tosafot and the Ramban, as to whether the Mishnah is addressing only knas, or is the Mishnah addressing knas, boshet, and begam. So over there in the Mishnah in Shavuot, the Chachamim answer, you're dealing with two different issues. Knas, you're right, Rabbi Shimon, there, if you admit to it, you will be patur. But boshet begam is something that has monetary value, it's a monetary obligation, and therefore even if you admit to it, you'll be chayav and you will not be exempted by the fact of your own admission. Now the case in Shavuot has to do with something called asham gzelot, which is that min haTorah, if an individual denies a monetary obligation that they have, and they take a shvuah to that effect, that they do not owe that money, and the pasuk, we'll quote it later, enumerates all different types of monetary obligations where a person makes a denial, then afterwards if he comes and admits that he really owes the money and that he was wrong or he lied by that shvuah, then he is chayav a number of things. Number one, he's chayav an asham gzelot. He has to bring a korban for the shvuah that he took falsely in denying that monetary obligation. That's called an asham gzelot. In addition to that, he has to pay the amount, which is the keren, the amount that he denied, plus a chomesh. He has to add on an additional fifth, which is really 25% above the value of the principal, to the party who he lied to or denied owing the money to. So in this instance, what happens here is that the father comes along and claims that he raped or he seduced his daughter, and therefore he has monetary obligations that he has to make to the father. Oh, he comes back and says, no, I never did it. Then later on admits to doing it. And when he admits to doing it, he made a denial of a monetary obligation, and now he admits to doing it, he should be chayav in asham gzelot u'korban, and he should be chayav for the keren and chomesh. What the argument here between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim and the Mishnah is, Rabbi Shimon makes a fair point, which is, if he was to admit that he owed the knas, then the knas he would be patur from. So you can't say that now, when he's denied owing the knas, and then he admits to the knas, that he should have to pay it, because it's really not a monetary obligation. Knas does not convert into a monetary obligation until we reach over some threshold, which the Gemara is going to about to discuss. But until at that point, the individual could admit to it and get rid of it. So it's not a real monetary obligation. So Rabbi Shimon says, if you admit to the fact that you lied about a knas, you should not be obligated in that to pay the keren v'chomesh and the asham gzelot, because you're denying something which you could actually get out of and may never be a monetary obligation. The Chachamim come back to him and say, wait a minute, there's boshet and begam, which are monetary obligations, and therefore they are money good right away. If they're money good right away, when he makes that denial, then he's denying a monetary obligation which he can't get out of. He admitted to them in the case he would have to actually pay the boshet and begam, and therefore he should be chayav asham gzelot and keren v'chomesh for the boshet and begam. It'll take us till the end of today's daf to come by and explain this machloka between them. In the interim, we're going to try to explain the cases and the thresholds that are determined by this. Now, Tosafot points out that the case of asham gzelot, or the case where a person is chayav for taking a shvuah, denying an obligation, is only a case where it's a davar misuyam, sheichod lo kli lahavato uli oshko. It's only a case where the person designated a specific item for the payment and then denies it. So Tosfot tries to come up here with a way to explain why this case by Anus and Mifateh is dealing with a case where he was miyached something to pay for it, and therefore brings it into that world of Shvuot and Korbanot of Hashem Gzilot. And then in the end, he also mentions that maybe the argument to Rabbi Shimon between him and the Chachamim has two levels to it, or twofold. One is the fact that the person who dedicates this item for payment, is it about something that exists in the world or not? Is it davar shebali olam or shelo bali olam? And that's what the Ri says in the end. The Rabbi Shimon, chada va'od kamar, chada di yichud enu mawil. That designating a kli by the supposed accused party over here doesn't help. Because it's davar shelo bali olam hu. Deinu mitchayev kalal, ele mishat hamada b'din ve'elech. Because the person's not obligated to pay until he goes to court and they obligate him in the payment. So number one is you're designating a kli for something that doesn't exist yet, an obligation that doesn't exist. In addition to that, even if you're able to designate the kli and there's not a problem, there's no kfirat mamon because we're dealing with kanas. And kanas, a person cannot obligate themselves in kanas. If they admit to it, they'll be patur. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says there's no way you're going to be chayav a korban shvua over here. The other hand, the chachamim believe, number one, you can't be miyached a kli for davar shelo bali olam. And number two is we're not talking about a kanas over here. We're talking about mamon because we're talking about boshet and pigam. So now we have a query from Bayimine Abaye Me Rabbo. Abaye, who was a Talmud of Rabbo, asks his Rebbe Rabbo this question. Omer lechavero, anasta upitita et piti. You raped or seduced my daughter. Bedmaticha bedin. Not only did you do that, but we also went to court already and the court judged against you. Benit chayavta li mamon. And now you're chayav to pay that money. V'omer, lo anasti v'lo petiti v'lo admitani bedin. I never did these acts. I never raped her. I never seduced her. And we never went to court over these issues. V'lo nitchayavti l'cha mamon. And I never was obligated to pay you money. V'nishba. And then he takes a shua to that effect. V'hode. And then later on admits that whatever he said wasn't true, or the shua that he took was not true. So the Rabbi Shimon, my, according to Rabbi Shimon, what is the din here? Have we gotten far enough along in the case that it's already considered to be money and a monetary obligation? Or are we still at the point where it's considered to be a kenas? Because the case was already adjudicated, mamonahavi, it's now converted from being kenas into mamon. Because the court already said he's obligated in this. And if he comes and admits it at this point, he's not going to change anything. So therefore, it's a monetary obligation. And you denied a monetary obligation. In that instance, he should be chayav, umichayav balav korban shvua, and therefore she be chayav for a korban shvua. O Dilma, or maybe the other side of this is avagav damat bedin kanas havi. Even though he was a made bedin, it still has a shame kanas. And as Rashi explains over here, because ikro kanas, it derives from a kanas. So even though now you're right, even if he admitted to it, it would not make him patur. But nevertheless, since it derived originally from a kanas, it's not considered to be a real monetary obligation. And therefore, it would not be applicable in the din of Korban Shvua. That's the way that Rashi reads the question. I'm going to note it here, but I will read the rest of the Gemara according to Rashi. Even though Tosafot and many of the Rishonim think that Rashi's reading is incorrect, because Rashi erased the gear, so you can already see that in the Divrei HaMatchil by Tosafot, which says, O Dilma Afagav Da Amad Bedin Knosahu. That's the way of Gersa that we have. Umode Beknas Patur. And someone who admits to a Knas is Patur. Rashi eliminated those words from the Girsa because it doesn't make so much sense. Why would be a mode b'knas be patur if it's already after they were hamadat adin? After the case was adjudicated and Beit Din decided on the case, then mode b'knas is not relevant anymore. And therefore, Rashi eliminated it. Tosafot also explains that what forced Rashi to do that has to do with the Gemara further on, where he makes it clear that Rabbi Shimon, after there's hamadat adin, after you already go to court, Rabbi Shimon agrees that that's considered to be money, and it's no longer a kanas that you could admit to and be patur. So based on that, Rashi eliminated it from the girsa. Now, Tosafot doesn't like it for a number of reasons. One is, kasha limchok asfarim. We don't want to erase every other Gemara that had this girsa in it. Vote. Later on, the Gemara challenges Rabba's position from a Mishnah and a Braito. And Tosafot's problem is that they should challenge Abaye as well. Because from here, it's clear what Abaye's position is as well. Which is, Abaye knows that it is money good. After they go to Hamad HaDin, it's money. It's considered to be a monetary obligation. The only question is it a derivative of Knas, and therefore it's not subject to Korban Shvua? or is it a real monetary obligation subject to Korban Shvuah? He doesn't argue with Rabbah on that point. So since he doesn't argue with Rabbah, the questions that we raise later should not be just questions on Rabbah, they should be questions on his Baye as well. And therefore, Tosafot says, Nira le Faresh, da Baye misfekele ad libid Rabbi Shimon, lefi shimatzino b'mishaten Rabbi Shimon habi mamon o rishol de banav, da hachami baile, ilo choshiv nam de Rabbi Shimon mamon inyon Korban Shvuah, v'hoda ilav, v'etar vayumi Baye. And he's asking two questions over here. Could you get a sinim b'chol hasvarim? Da haba hatalya. Di mechayev b'ho adato, im ken kafalei mamona, u mechayev gurman shvua. If once the case has been adjudicated and he's considered to be chayev in mamon, then he is considered to be money good and chayev in kurban shvua. That means two things. Mode at this point will make no difference. And number two is kurban shvua will be good. Di miftar b'ho adato, if he can still be mode b'knas and it would be poter himself over here, then he should not be chayav in Korban Shvuah. And therefore, when Rabbah comes back and answers over here, he's answering the query of Abaye, but it's unclear as to what Abaye's position is. Abaye's trying to figure out, because our Mishnah and some of the other Mishnayot seem to give us different pictures of Rabbi Shimon's position. And therefore, when the Gemara is asking questions later on, they're all in Rabbah, because Rabbah gave a definitive position over here, and therefore we have to adjust Rabbah's position in order to fit it in. Again, I'll continue to read the Gemara according to Rashi. But you should know that Tosafot, the Ramban, and many others have the Girsah that the Tosafot is promoting over here. And therefore, they see the continuation of the Gemara asking a dual-level question about Modeh B'Knas Patur, as well as the fact that, is he Chayav in Korban Shvuah? Whereas Rashi sees it simply as being a question. It's definitely Mamon. It's only a question of whether you're Chayav in Korban Shvuah or not Chayav in Korban Shvuah. So now Rabbah answers Abaye and says, Tamalei Mamona Havi, Umechayav Alei Korban Shvuah. He answers him definitively and says that Rabbi Shimon believes in a case of Achter Hamadat Adin, it's considered to be Mamon. Since it's going to be Mamon, he's Chayav in a Korban Shavuah. Now, Tosafot says over here, Rabbah definitely had a Mesorah that Rabbi Shimon believed it was Mamon. The only question is where to apply it, and that's what the Gemara is going to be searching for. Rabbah now says it and he applies it even to Korban Shavuah. Later on, we'll see that maybe he'll adjust that statement. 8 of 8. Is that really true? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yachol HaOmer LeChavero, Anasta Upitita Adbiti. He says to his friend, look, you raped or you seduced my daughter. Omer Lo Anasti Velo Upitite. He says, I did not rape her, I did not seduce her. Hemit Shochat Abdi, you're sure killed my Evid Kenani. Omer Lo Hemit. And he says, no, it didn't. O Shamar Lo Avdo Hipaltet Shini. Or a Evid Kenani says to his master, you knocked out my tooth. Visimita et eni, or you blinded my eye. V'omer lo hipalti v'lo simite. And the owner says back, I did not knock out your tooth, and I did not knock out your eye. V'nishba. And he takes a shvu'ah to that effect. V'holdu. And afterwards, he admits that he did do any of these items. Yocho ye chayav. You would think you'd be chayav korban shvu'ah. Tamalomar v'kichesh be'amito. That person has to deny by his friend. Be'pikadon. O b'tzumet yad, o b'gazel, o ashak et amito, o matza veida v'kichesh ba, v'nishba l'shaker. So these are the sources in Vayikra Hey, this week's parsha, for this korban of the asham gzelot. These are the cases or denial of money that will generate this obligation. Ma ilum yuchadim shein mamon. All the items here that are listed are monetary obligation. Av ko shein mamon. Therefore, only items that are monetary obligations are chayav in asham gzelot. Yatsuelu Shein Kenas. All those items that we just listed here have a din of Kenas. So Rabbi Shimon over here is calling all of these items Kenas. Now we know they are Kenas. The only question is, when did this happen? So that's what the Gemara says. My love, Bishaba Mad Bedin. Must be a case where they already adjudicated the case. Because otherwise, why is there any obligation or what denial is he making over here? If he denies it before he ever went to court, he's not denying it a monetary obligation because it's a Kenas. And therefore, if he's denying it, then if he had admitted that point to the Knas, he would be patur anyway. So it's not a denial of a monetary obligation. So my lav sheba amad bedin. My says lo, b'shelo amad bedin. So it's a case where he was not omeid bedin. Now, if he's not omeid bedin, then almost seemingly obvious that Rabbi Shimon would agree that you're patur over there, because then it's only a Knas. And if you're molded be Knas, you'd be patur. So that's what Gemara says. That's what Rabbi Shimon is speaking about. And then the Gemara will ask other questions about this, but again, it is pretty pshita that would be the shita of Rabbi Shimon, because it's talking about Kenas. On the other hand, if we say that it was Vamad Bedin, that they already had, the case was adjudicated, that would suggest that these Knasot are now made into monetary obligations. And in being made into a monetary obligation, then we would say that Rabbi Shimon believes even after the adjudication of a case, when it's considered mamon according to Rabba, that he still says that you're not chayav in a korban shvua. And that would go against Rabba's position. So the original stance that Abaye says, bringing this quote, is saying that it was b'shemad b'din, and that would be a proof against Rabba. Rabba answers and says, lo, b'shloba b'din. And then Abaye responds and says, v'hamid d'reisha b'shemad b'din. The ratio of that mishnah was a case where he was omid b'din. Seifa nami b'shemad b'din. Certainly the seifa should be a case where he was amad b'din. Tiktani reisha, because the beginning says, ein li elu dvarim shimishomim aleihem et hakeren. That's only true with things that you pay Karen for. Tashlume Kefel, Tashlume Arba Avichamisha, Baones, Vamifate, Mutsi Shem Raminayin. How do I know in all those cases that you are Chayav at Kurban Shua? Tamalomar Umala Mal Ribo. Malamal, he did anything that was incorrect. He stole, misappropriated, he lied about owing money. Any type of money, he is obligated to bring in Hashem Zelot and pay Karen Vachomesh. So, hey, Chidami, what's the case there? Idlo ba'amad b'din. If he never had a case that was adjudicated, then kfeilo mi'iko, how could he be chayav in kefel? Kefel is only a result of being found guilty of lying about stealing. Nobody is obligated in kefel until they actually have the case be adjudicated. You can't be chayav in kefel on your own. Because if you admit to it, it's a knas, and you'd be patur min knas. And if you have yet to be brought to trial, then nobody can obligate this individual in kefel. Elo pshita b'shamad b'din. And so it's clear that the first part here is talking about a case where they're omid bedin. Omid dereisha ba'amad bedin. And since the first half here is talking about a case where they were omid bedin, where the case was already adjudicated, seifanami shomad bedin. Then the latter half also, in the case where Rabbi Shimon spoke up, it must be a case of ba'amad bedin. Once you explain it as being ba'amad bedin, it becomes a problem for Rabbah. For here it's a case of ba'amad bedin, and yet Rabbi Shimon is still saying you're patur from a korban shvua. Yet Rabba said that after your Amad Bedin, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's Mamon, and you would be Chayav in Korban Shua. So Rabba says back to Abaye, Yachilna Neshloi Alach, I could answer you, Reisha Ba'amad Bedin, Beseva Shalom Amad Bedin, Bekula Rabbi Shimon Hi. I could answer you that, yes, Enoch Anami, the Reisha is Bishalom Amad Bedin, and the Seifa, Reisha is a case where he's Amad Bedin, and the Seifa is also a case Bishalom Amad Bedin. Ah, what about the fact that it seems that the first part is talking about a case where Amad Bedin and the second half is not? You're going to say, Kula Rabbi Shimon, the entire Braita is Rabbi Shimon. Vishinuye dechiga lo mishaninalach. But I don't want to give you a difficult answer, because what are you going to say to me? You're going to say, Dim Kane, Amartali, you would have answered me, Abaye, Litne Reisha Rabbi Shimon Omer. In the beginning of the statement there, the beginning of the Braita, it should say, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Olitne Seifa Divrei Rabbi Shimon, or at the way end of it, it should say Divrei Rabbi Shimon. But what in reality happens is you have the first half, the Reisha, then you have Rabbi Shimon Omer right in the middle. Why does Rabbi Shimon appear in the middle if it's really Kula Rabbi Shimon Hi? So it must be that it is not Kula Rabbi Shimon Hi. Ella, what he's going to say, Kula B'shamad B'din. Case here is everything is Amad B'din. V'Reisha Rabbonon, and the Reisha is the position of the Rabbonon, V'Seifa Rabbi Shimon. The Reisha is the Rabbanan who say that before you're Omeid Bedin, if you make a claim about the Karen, then you would be Chayav for Korban Shua. If it's after the Din, then even in cases of Kenas, like Kefel and Arba V'Chamisha, in those instances, you'll be Chayav for Korban Shua. And the Seifa is Rabbi Shimon, Umodin Elecha. And I'm going to agree to you. The Inyan Korban Shua, when it comes to the Korban Shua, the Rachmana Patre, that the Torah says you are Patur. What Rabba is saying now in the end is, I think that Rabbi Shimon thinks after the adjudication of a case, it is considered to be mamona, it is considered to be money. But even despite the fact that it's a monetary obligation, Rabbi Shimon still believes you're not chayav a korban shvua mivikichesh. Because of the pasuk vikichesh, the limo that we had on the previous Samud, that taught us that Rabbi Shimon says that these are not similar to other monetary obligations. Vichikamina mamon havi lorish libanav. And when I said that Rabbi Shimon believes that there are monetary obligations after the adjudication of the case, that's the ability for him to grant those rights to his children. Because after the adjudication of the case, it's a monetary obligation, it's no longer a right, it's money. And money he can inherit to his children, but he cannot grant those rights of his daughter to the children. So in the case is closed already, then it's money good in terms of being morish, those rights to the children. On the other hand, with regards to Korban Shvua, they still will not be classified as being a monetary obligation, which would be chayav for denying or a korban shvua. So now that Rabbo has qualified his position and said, with regards to what he said about Rabbi Shimon, that after Hamadat Badin, the obligation turns into a monetary obligation, that's only with regards to Rishol Banav. In order to pass the inheritance to his children, it's no longer a right, it's already monetized. On the other hand, with regards to Korban Shavuah, it is not considered to be money. And since it's not considered to be money, you will not bring a Korban Shavuah for it. Now the Gemara finally asks from our Mishnah, which is Eidavit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, in our Mishnah, it says, Im lo yispiku legavot ad shemeta av, hari hen shel atzma. If they have yet to collect the monies prior to the father dying, they are hers. Vi amart mamon havi lo shobinav leatzma amai dachin bayim yehavei. Why are we giving it to her and not to the brothers? Because according to the way Rabbi is explaining Rabbi Shimon, once there's Hamadat Bedin, which was the case in our Mishnah, then Rabbi Shimon agrees that it is money good in order to grant that right to his children. So why is the woman getting the money instead of her brothers who were the inheritors of her father? Now, as Tosafot asks over here, didn't Rabbi know the Mishnah? Of course Rabbi knew the Mishnah. So how come Rabbi didn't consider this in his answer? So Tosafot says, V'teretz ri b'Rabbi Avram. The Rabbo da Mar Mamon Havi the Roshul Banav, Hainu Kushain Abat Kayemet. That's only when the daughter's not there. Avamatnit and Arik Shabbat Kayemet. And our Mishnah is talking about a case when the Bat is still alive. And that's the difference between Rabba's statement and our Mishnah. That was the Chiluk that he was thinking. Abaye says he doesn't see that type of Chiluk. It doesn't matter whether the daughter's there or the daughter's not there. The din should be the same. And in the end, the Rabbo agrees to Abaye's position. And therefore, we're left with a problem. Amarova Hai Milto Kashai Ba Rabbo Rav Yosef Esrim Vitartin Shnin. There were 22 years that Rabbo and Rav Yosef had difficulty answering off this stira between Rabbo's position and the Mishnah. Velo Ifrik, and it was not answered at the Yotiv Rav Yosef Resho Birka until Rav Yosef became the Rosh Shiva and answered that. This is based on a Gemara at the end of Brachot, in which it discusses the fact that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef were both up to being the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Gemara asks over there, who's better to make the Rosh Yeshiva? Rabbi, who was an Oker Harim, he was a great at Eon and Pilpul, or Rabbi Yosef, who was a Sinai, who knew all the Shmuelot and knew everything. So the Gemara over there answers, Sinai Odif, that Rabbi Yosef is really better, because Hakol Tzrichin the Maritaya, everybody needs the source, everybody needs the basics, so Rav Yosef should be made the Rosh Yeshiva. Despite that fact, Rav Yosef demurred and allowed Rabbo to become Rosh Yeshiva. It's based on the fact that Rav Yosef at some point in his life had heard that once he became Rosh Yeshiva, that he would not live a very long life. He would die pretty shortly afterwards. So in that case, he granted Rabbo the right for 22 years. Even though Rav Yosef had the right to be the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbo became the Rosh Yeshiva because Rav Yosef allowed him to. And because of that, Rav Yosef lived an additional 22 years. Then Rav Yosef takes over, and shortly after taking over, he passes away. But what Rashi notes over here is that Rabbo was known as the Oker Harim, the one who could answer up Stirot and Pilpul and discussions between, or problems with the Mishnayot and Braitot. And Rav Yosef was known as the Sinai. And what happens here in the end is that after Rav Yosef becomes the Rosh Yeshiva, he's able to answer this question. As Rashi says, Siyua min Hashemayim, that they helped him from the heavens to give him a shame as an Oker Harim. That after he became Rosh Yeshiva, he would not only be known as a Sinai, but also as an Oker Harim. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef came up with this answer. Once he was Rosh Yeshiva, Shani Hotom, the Amakra. It makes a difference by the case of Me'anes. Because the case of Me'anes, it says, V'natana isha shochevi ma'at la'vi anara chamishim kesef. Lo zichta tor le'av el mishat netina. So what Rabbi Yosef suggests over here is that there's a difference between Me'anes and any other knas. Eino Hanami, that Rabbi Shimon believes that after there's Hamadat Adin, that knas is monetized and it can be granted to the children. The father can be Morisha to the children. As far as Korban Shavuah is concerned, we'll see in a second that it still remains as considered a knas. But with regards to Me'anes, Me'anes is the exception. It's an exception to the rule because there it says V'natan. And until it's given to the father, it does not become money for the father. It still remains a right until the giving, and that's Gzeret HaKatuv by Me'anes, because it says V'natan. That's by any other Knas. That is the case, because we don't have the word V'natan. What about by the heavy where it says div kesef shloshim shkalim yiten la'adunav? So by an eved kanani that is killed by a shor, the 30 shekel kanas over there, it says itain la'adunav. So also there you're going to say to me that it's not considered to be money until it reaches the hands of the master. Hachanami lo zichta tor la'adon o mishat netina. The adon doesn't have rights that until he actually collects on it. Where it says, no, itain lachud v'natan lachud. That's itain. Natan is different than itain, and therefore the nimud is only by natan. Tosafot points out that also by Motzi Shemra we have Veratno La'avi Hanara. So again, there you also have a Natan, and again, Tosafot says you'll answer the same way that Natan is different than the verb that is used in the case of Motzi Shemra. Gemara says, Yochi, Tamalomer V'kichesh. If that's the case, why did the Braita before that we brought say that the source for Rabbi Shimon's reasoning behind why a Knas does not end up bringing a Korban Shumah is because of Kichesh? Tamalor Benatan mi boyle. Benatan is the key element of that. The real reason that one does not bring a Korban Shvuah by the case of Me'anes is because of Benatan. The fact that it's not considered to be money until it reaches the hands of the father himself. But Kichesh, as Rashi says, is Poshut. Now here, according to Tosafot's reasoning, it's easy to understand why the Gemara says Benatan and not Kichesh. Because Tosafot says that Rabbi Shimon, according to this explanation, still believes that if you're modeh by the Kanas at that point in time, you would be patur. And that's why you're patur from the Shvuah. And that's obvious. Modeh by Kanas is patur. And certainly then you're not going to be chayav a Korban Shvuah. So therefore the question of the Gemara is, why don't you tell us the real Chiddush here? The real Chiddush here is Vinatan. The real Chiddush is that the Kanas of Ones is not considered to be money, the Horish Lebanav, except when it reaches the hand of the father, as opposed to any other kanas, which is considered to be money or monetized, that it can be morish lebanav and no longer considered to be a zchut or just a right. But according to Rashi, who says that even after Amarat Bedin, when Rabbah says it's money good and you cannot be modeh b'kanas patur, then what's the question over here? This is one of the questions of Tosafot, Neged Rashi Shita. And one of the things listed in the Braita was Ones and Mifateh. And the bigger Chiddush there is the Venatan piece of it and not the Kichesh piece of it. And therefore, according to Rashi, why didn't the Braita bring Talmud Lomar Venatan instead of Talmud Lomar V'Kichesh? So Gemara says, Amarova, Ki Tzrich V'Kichesh G'gon Kshamda B'din. We need the Kichesh for the case where they were Amida B'din, Ubagra, and then the girl became of age, umeita, and then she dies. The hotum ki yorit avia minodi doko yorit. Because in that case, when the father inherits it, he inherits it directly from the daughter. Which is that in the instance where the father has a right to it, and then he dies, and then he's giving it over to his children, over there we say vanatan governs. But in a case where the father loses rights to the collection of these monies by ones and mifateh, because the daughter already aged and became a bogeret, then the money belongs to his daughter. If his daughter then passes away, that money will be inherited by the father. In that case, when the father inherits that money, that's already money that's considered to be monetized, no longer a right. And therefore, the children would also inherit it, and it's considered to be monetized. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon still believes in that case, you do not bring a Korban Shvuah on that. And that's where it says, V'kichesh. Kichesh comes to teach us that even in that case, you still don't bring a Korban Shvuah. The Gemara says, Yochi Yatzuel Shein Knas. That these are excluded because they're kanas. Mamonu, it's not a kanas. You're telling me that it's a money good because the girl would have inherited it. Now the father gets it from the girl. It's not this chut of his daughter that he's taking. It's not just a right of collection. It's actually money because the daughter would have inherited it and he inherits it from the daughter. Now the answer in the end is what Rashi suggested in the beginning is basically part of the shita, a question that Abayi posed to Rabbah. Is that these items are eliminated because Ikran Knas. They started out as Knas. So even though they've been monetized at this point, and they have as Hamada Bedin, there was already, they had a din and adjudicated the case, and the judgment was that they are Chayav in these cases. So even though now it's Mamon, and as Rabbah says, it's good enough Mamon to be Morish Libanav, nevertheless, in all these cases, you still do not bring a Korban Shvuah because of Kichesh. Kichesh tells us that it has to be a monetary obligation from beginning to end, not a monetary obligation that is sourced out of a kanas. And therefore, by all kanasot, we would say this, that they are monetary obligations after Hamad Abedin, and you can inherit them to one's children. But nevertheless, you still not will not be chayav in Korban HaShvuah. And Rabbi Shimon will add on to that, in the case of Ones Mifateh, it's not considered to be money until it is given to the father himself because of Natan. There's a gzerat HaKatuv there that delays the monetization for inheritance to the point where it's given to the father and not right after Hamado Bidin. How can you say that? Rabbi Shimon Poter, She'enu Mishalem Knas, Al Pi Atzmo. Sounds like the reason Rabbi Shimon is Poter in all of these cases by Korban Shvua is because if you're Modeh B'Knas, you don't pay. Taima D'lo Amad Bidin. That only can be true if he was not Omeid Bidin yet. That's why he can be Modeh B'Knas is Poter. Ha Amad Bidin, D'Mishalem Al Pi Atzmo. After Amad at the din, where it's clear that he pays based on his own admission, because his own admission won't help anymore, Korban Shvua, Nami Mechayev. You should also be Chayev a Korban Shvua. And this is what drove Rashi earlier in the Sugya to say that Modeh B'Knas is out of the picture completely. It's clear here to the Gemara that after Amad of a din, you can't have Modeh B'Knas and be Patur. The other Rishonim disagree and say that only at this point does the Gemara reach that conclusion, but before this, it did not reach the conclusion. But Tosafot says, this is what was the chok to Rashi and forced Rashi to explain the Gemara in the way that he did. Mar says, Rabbi Shimon le'divrehem de'rabanan kamar luhu. Rabbi Shimon says this in the sheet of the Rabbonan. Lididi, according to me, afagav damad bedin rachmana patre. That even after Amad bedin, you're still patur in terms of things that derive from kenas. Mivikichesh, from the posuk that we learned at the end of the previous amud, that Vikichesh tells us that if it's ikro kenas, if it started as a kenas, then it is not something that is chayav in korban shvua. Elo didchu, for you, oduli mihat, you Rabbonan, at least admit to me, hechid lo amad bedin. In a case where he was not the Amad Bedin yet, Hechi Katova, Kenosa Katova, when he's making a claim, he's making a claim of Kenas. Omodeh B'Knas Patur. And Omodeh B'Knas is Patur. And therefore, there should be no Korban Shvuah over here. Rabbanan Savre, Ki Katova, Boshet Begam Katova. When he comes to make the claim, he's not making the claim on the Kenas, he's making the claim on the Boshet Begam. So my says, by my commiflegate. Then what's the argument here? They're arguing about when a person comes and makes a claim against this supposed perpetrator of the crime, whether he was Manes or Mifateh, the father is making a claim against him, is asking for a payment of the money that he owes. So, Rabbi Shimon says he's asking for the Knas, Nachamim says he's asking for Boshet Begam. The truth is, he's asking for all of them. But, Rabbi Shimon thinks he's focused on the Knas, and the Chachamim think he's focused on Boshet Begam. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon, if you're Modeh B'Knas, you're Patur, there's no Korban Shvua if you take a Shvua denying that. On the other hand, for the Chachamim, Boshet Begam are monetary obligations. Over there, if he denies it b'shvua, he would be chayav a korban shvua. So what's driving their reasoning behind why one of them thinks the primary claim is on the knas, and the other one thinks the primary claim is on the boshet begam? Amar Papa, Rabbi Shimon Savar, lo shovik inish mide de kaitz, betova mide de lo kaitz. So that a person will not give up something that's a fixed amount to try to claim something that's not a fixed amount. The knas is fixed at 50 shekel kesef. Boshet and begam have to be calculated. We have to figure out what it is. He doesn't know what he's going to get from it. The Knas, he knows for sure what he's going to get. So therefore, he directs his claim or focuses his claim on that. Rabbanan Sabri, the Loshto Bekinish, Mide Dechi Modi Beilo Miftar. Person's not going to give up claims that the perpetrator cannot get out of. Boshet and begam, even if he admits them, he's going to have to pay them. So he definitely won't do that. Vitova, Mide Dechi Modi Beilo Miftar. And make a claim against Knas, which they could lose any second if he admits to the Knas. Modi Beknas is Patur. So here, the machlok between them is, where is the primary focus of the individual? Rabbi Shimon says the primary focus is on quantifiable claims, and therefore his focus is on kenas versus boshet begam. Chachamim say, no, their focus is on definitive claims, which will always be there, no matter whether the perpetrator admits them or not, and that's boshet begam versus kenas. Because of that difference in their view of what the claim is, that also leads to their difference in view with regards to korban shvua. Because if you focus on Kenas, Modeh B'Knas is Patur, the Korban Shvua would not be relevant. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, Bushalo Amad Bedin. Bushalo Amad Bedin Vil Chachamim, the focus on Boshet Begam, which are monetary obligations, and therefore, if he denies it, he will be Chayav Korban Shvua. You should also note over here that Tosafot back on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph discusses this sheet of Rabbi Shimon here and tries to reconcile or to deal with it with regards to Rabbi Shimon's sheet before that says that when a person is Modeh B'Knas, that he's not only Patur from the Knas, he's also Patur from the Boshet and Pigam, because he doesn't have the right to sully the reputation of this woman, her family, or her broader family, and therefore, even that admission would not be Mechayev him in Boshet Pigam. Whereas Rabbi Shimon in Shavuot seems to indicate that if he made a claim for the Boshet and Pigam, and he admitted to it, he'd be Chayav a Korban Shvua. So Tosafot over there says that Rabbi Shimon, back on Mem Aleph, is focused on the Mishnah there, and is not talking about the Mishnah and Shavuot. If you think that Rabbi Shimon's on the Mishnah and Shavuot, you have to say, Trei Tanayei. These are two Tanayim in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. But it's just something to keep in mind, that Rabbi Shimon does have that Shita when he's Modeh the kanas that he's patur, that he's also patur from the bosha de begam. That might only have to do with the case where he voluntarily admits to it. But the case in Shvot might be where the father is making the claim against him, and therefore there's no more issue to say, oh, what right does he have to be proclaimed this daughter or this woman or this father? Because the father is coming to court and making the claim, which means that he admits to the fact that it happened. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon over there would agree that there is a claim for Bosha de Begam. Okay, we're going to stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph.